Hey everybody, this is Sean from Low Code Approach. Before we hop in today's episode, I want to let you know that we are collecting everyone's thoughts on what topics we should cover for the upcoming season. To submit them, hopefully you're not driving. If you are, wait until you get somewhere safe, but go to aka.ms/low-code-topic-request. That's all one word, aka.ms/low-code-topic-request. And from there, enter what topics you'd like us to cover in the upcoming season. And who knows, maybe we'll be able to get to them and get to the best people at Microsoft to talk to. Anyway, thanks for listening. We're excited to get your thoughts. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Low Code Approach. I am one third of this team of whatever we are. Sean Feeney, Senior Product Marketing Manager for the Microsoft Power Platform. And I'm joined by...
I'm Wendy Haddad. I'm the second third of the Three Caballeros. And I am joined by...
I was really about to bust into the theme song from the Three Amigos. Thanks, Wendy. I really appreciate that. I am Ken Aguilar, Program Manager. And today we are joined by Mansi Malik. Mansi, hello. How are you?
Hello. Hi, everyone. I am Mansi Malik, Senior Product Manager for the Microsoft Power Platform. Glad to be here talking to all of you.
So what is this blatantly obvious feature name, Power Platform Known Issues? What does it do?
Of course. So you got me on the name. I mean, we just wanted it to be straightforward. Known issues. We know about it. We want to tell you about it. That's why it's known issues. But it's our way to transparently share the status of known product bugs with our customers while we work on a fix. And we also strive to share an estimated time to fix and a workaround to unblock you. Meanwhile, it was announced more broadly at the MPPC last year by our very own Ken, which went really well. We've been seeing a lot of usage since then from several of our customers, got several repeat customers as well. So that's awesome. But basically, when you go to the help and support section of the Power Platform Admin Center, there is now a known issues tab that you can click on to see details of. It's a list view of all the known issues across Dynamics and Power Platform products.
Hey, Mansi, so as the product marketing manager over here, I just want to say we probably had no part in the naming of this at all, because otherwise it would have been some fanciful name and it would have, you know, been ridiculous. Quick question. You mentioned that, you know, you go to the Power Platform Admin Center and you're able to go and see the known issues. Is this tied to a specific admin role? So is it environment admins or is it tenant admins? Like, who gets to actually see this?
So anybody who has access to the help and support section can see known issues. So that's how the access is related. I think it's a little bit, the environment admins can access it, tenant admins can access it. I think all of them can access the help and support section. So as long as you can access that section, that's how we tie the access to known issues as well.
Global admins, our platform admins, Dynamics admins, environment admins, sys admins, those folks, anybody with a high level administrative role are the folks who can access the help center. She said that it related security word, Creston, so it triggered me.
This is your therapy too, Ken. It's okay. Gotcha. So, Mansi, is this specific to the Power Platform, or is this also being integrated into other admin centers across the Microsoft ecosystem?
Right now, it's the Power Platform Admin Center, but we want to build as, you know, a consistent product across all of Microsoft. So you'll see some similarities with how Azure does known issues or how M365 does known issues. So we've tried to build with consistency, but within the Power Platform Admin Center, the content that you see is specific to Power Platform, to the PPAC Center, because it supports the Dynamics and Power Platform products, and they live within the Power Platform Admin Center. So that content will be unique.
So question for you, how do we get some of these known issues? Are these things we discover, or is this from customer feedback, customer support tickets? How do we generate the known issues, if you will?
Great question. So there's two ways we get the queue to publish a known issue. First one is customer reported incidents. So when a customer tells us that, hey, I'm having this problem, our engineering team looks at it, figures that it also impacts other customers, then to save all of those other customers the time and effort they would have spent in reporting that issue to us, we want to proactively publish a known issue. So that's not proactive. That's more of a reactive approach, is that we know about it because somebody told us, and then now we come to our admin center and publish it. The second one, which we prefer happens, you know, more times than the first one, is that we, our monitoring systems tell us that, hey, something's wrong. So as part of building the world's most reliable products, we have a lot of monitoring and telemetry systems which alert us when something goes wrong. So that is our second cue to publish a known issue to our customers.
Hey, so the known issues that are shared through the known issues feature, does Microsoft prioritize addressing those issues? Or how do we treat that?
Yeah, it's definitely a priority for our engineering teams. But in spirit of transparency, I should also add that not all known issues are prioritized equally. Issues with highest customer impact will be addressed first, or when there is no workaround present, then we want to fix those on priority as well. One thing to note is that due to a safe rollout process that we follow across all Microsoft products, fixes to that known issue might not be available to all customers in all regions right away. So that is just something to keep note of, that even though the known issue might say it's resolved, it might take some time for it to flow through to your tenant, your environment, and your region. But throughout this all, our goal is to keep you informed and you know, continue to share updates via known issue.
I think that's a great point that Mansi just made. So a little bit of transparency in the rollout schedule. We generally tend to roll things out in regions and whatnot. Canada is usually the first, believe it or not, and then followed by Brazil, a bunch of others, and then U.S. regions are usually last. If you'd like more details about that, I think we have it published somewhere. I'd have to go find the docs.
No, but I'm sure that makes sense, because you're going to prioritize the security issues more likely first and not higher than some of the other feature issues. I'm curious, though, once a known issue is discovered, either by Microsoft or by a customer, how long does it take for us to publish that? Is it faster for me to go to Twitter and start, you know, searching and seeing what's there, or can I rely on this?
So when we first rolled this out, it took us a couple of hours to publish something. But before I give you, you know, the exact time that it takes us usually, the long answer is that it really varies. You know, sometimes when it's reported to us by a customer, we do our analysis on top of it, and based on the priority, we'll go and publish the issue, right? But if it's something that's a security issue or something that is very, very high priority, you know, something's down or, you know, multiple users, multiple tenants cannot access something, we'll prioritize that and publish it as fast as we can. We've got our systems in place that try to automate some of these steps. And that's something we've been constantly improving on since we launched Known Issues. So we've gotten down to, you know, being a few minutes of publish time from when we started, but the content that we put in front of our customers, we want to make sure it's top quality. We just don't want to go and publish anything, right? So we want to make sure it's compliant. We're following all the rules. We're making sure that we're giving our customers exactly what is needed in that time when they're already frustrated by a problem that they're facing. So to make sure it's top quality, make sure it covers all the information that could be useful. We do try to do our due diligence while balancing the time that it takes to publish it. So it's usually a fine balance, but we try to get to it as fast as we can.
So Mansi, like a simple operating question, I'm an admin, I go into the page and I see the list of known issues, and say I just leave my tab open and I go in to do other work. Does that page auto refresh for me, or should I go back and refresh that page to get an update for the status?
As of today, you'll have to refresh. But a neat little trick I'll give you there is that once you've identified that, you know, this is a known issue that impacts me and you're on its page to see more details, just bookmark that URL, because that URL is specific to that known issue. So you can just come back and refresh that instead of going to our known issues tab and then finding that issue again and then looking for updates. Just go to that bookmarked URL and refresh the page. That saves you some time.
So maybe a side question about, you've discovered a known issue and whatnot. Does the data about the known issue remain consistent? Or like, let's say, for example, we discover a workaround about this known issue. Do we publish it and update that known issue so that the customer can now know, oh, hey, here's how I work around this while we fix it.
Yes, that's the principle. That's the primary principle behind known issues, is that we want to keep our customers updated as and when we know about a new change on that issue. Maybe, you know, our understanding of the issue has changed, or maybe there is a new workaround, or there's a better workaround. We strive to share that as soon as possible. As soon as we discover it, we want to share it with our customers. So we've got all of these automations in place that will get, or that will relay that updated change to our customers directly from our engineering teams.
So when I hear the word workaround, are workaround something we're actually recommending right now? Or is this something that it's like worst case scenario, if you absolutely need to, we're giving you an option, but please don't, you know, just because you have a workaround, sometimes you have to undo it later. So is this generally something that we are recommending that customers do in the meantime, have been vetted through some of that thought process?
So workaround will be thoroughly tested by our engineering team before we relay that to the customer. Oftentimes, and I've seen examples of this, is that sometimes we will publish a known issue without a workaround, because the workaround we have, maybe it works only for a subset of customers, or it doesn't work that well. So we don't want to, you know, add more work for our customers. So it's better to just not share it. Only the thoroughly vetted workarounds are shared with customers. In some of those cases, they might have to undo it. But of course, it's again, one of our principles is that only share thoroughly vetted workarounds with the customers, and practically the ones that don't have to be undone once a change rolls out. And again, after that, once we try to fix it, we also try to fix it in a way where it's backward compatible in that way. It just, you know, seamlessly works with the bug fix, seamlessly works with your existing experience.
I feel like you're pointing the finger at me every time you say engineering teams. Like, I just feel, hey, engineering teams. So that's what I feel right now.
Well, she doesn't sugarcoat it with the naming. So I think she actually is, Ken.
No, I don't. And I think, you know, we did not have a way to connect our customers directly to engineering teams. I think it's the shortest route, it's the fastest route. So whenever they're having an issue, this is a way for customers to connect directly with the engineering team that made that product and ask them, hey, what's going on? Is there something I can do meanwhile to unblock myself? So I love that concept behind non-issues, that we can directly connect our customers with the teams that are building these products.
So you mentioned before, like, hey, I've got this known issue and I, you know, can grab the URL for that and then basically track it through that. Is there any subscription that an admin can have, like an RSS or something like that, to see what the known issues are to stay up to date on it? Or is that coming down the pipe, or what are we looking at there?
So subscription is not supported yet. But we are definitely thinking about it, and more to come on that very soon. Maybe Ken will announce it at the NPPC 2024, who knows. But we're thinking about it, yes, but it's not supported yet.
So regarding new updates coming to Node features, how does somebody stay aware of what's coming down, or the status of the status known as known issues?
So whenever you invite me to this podcast next, that's when you'll get the updates.
Nice.
No, I'm kidding.
As a marketer, being known as the disclosure engine will surely make my bosses happy, let me tell you.
I'm kidding. So we have an article on learn.microsoft.com. Or if you just search on the web for Power Platform Known Issues, it should bring up that article. And for any new features, we'll share updates via that article. In addition, we'll continue to share via Message Center, community forum blogs, and conferences. So plenty of ways to stay updated on what's new and what's coming.
Manzi, here's a great question I just thought of. What environment types do known issues work with? Are they locked behind a feature like managed environments? Do we only alert on known issues in managed environments, or is it across the entire platform?
Great question. As of now, it will show up to all environments and all tenants. So we're publishing issues that impact, you know, most customers, if not all. And the criteria right now is to publish across all tenants and all environments. If it only impacts certain environments and tenants, then we will note that in the known issue. So when you go to the details page of the issue, you'll be able to see that information. But all tenants that can access the help and support section will be able to access all known issues. But that is the direction we are thinking in, to narrow it down only if your environment and tenant is impacted. I think it'll be a more focused way to surface known issues. So that is something we're thinking about for future.
So if that's the case, Mansi, I want to go back to one of the earliest questions we asked in the podcast about like what roles, Sean asked, what roles can see this? Why are we not surfacing these issues to makers who may run into this? Because wouldn't that necessarily take the burden of the communication off of the admins?
Great question. And as a product manager, that is a question I ask myself every day. So there's a few, and that's definitely one direction we are thinking of in future. So just to think back about known issues, right? We only launched this last quarter and wanted to get it as fast as possible to at least our admins, because they come in to create support tickets. And known issues is some place we want them to go first before they create the issue, because we don't want them to waste all of that time and effort in creating this ticket and also then having to wait to get a response back from the support team. So this was a way to tell them before they get to that step that, hey, you know, there is something that can help you right away with a workaround, or even just tell them that, you know, this is something that we acknowledge is happening. So that was a powerful way to get to them at that point during the ticket creation process. And second, to get it to makers is the goal, but there's a lot of, I don't know how to say this bluntly, but there's a lot of compliance and, you know, guidelines that we have to follow legally before we can share information with our customers. So we need to be a little bit careful about that role-based access and making sure only the right roles are getting to see that information that is meant only for our customers, and it's not going to be shared more broadly. But we're working through those loops and trying to understand how we can share this more broadly and bring it in front of our makers, who are the ones, you know, behind the scenes that are actually running into the issue. So
she keeps saying all these trigger words, Sean, about like roles and things like that and whatnot. You know, my brain is trying not to get into governance and security, but she just keeps like putting the carrot right in front of me, Sean.
Never left governance and security, Ken. You're always there. That is where you are, my dude. Hey, Mansi, so word on the street is that you got a new role. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So just last week, I accepted a role to be the product manager for Power Apps. Specifically, I'm going to use Ken's favorite word, Power Apps Maker Copilot. So I'm going to be helping, switching roles, helping out more in the Power Apps team to build scenarios that bring in, you know, make our co-pilot better in the Power App. So I'm really excited for that.
Okay, so you mentioned two words, well, a lot more than that, but co-pilot and Power Apps, which means that you automatically volunteered to be on this podcast again, because we are going to pepper you with so many more questions.
I'm excited. That's it's a really exciting space. You can see, you know, all the investment that Microsoft's making into this direction. And I think it's just the beginning. I've used Copilot, you know, not just for Power Apps, but the Microsoft Copilot. And it feels like it's just the beginning. There's so much more to come. There's so much we can improve on, so many delightful scenarios we can light up. But I'm really excited about the potential that it has and where it can go. So I'm happy to be able to contribute in defining that direction for Copilot for our product.
And just think, you've already built a feature that can tell customers everything that's wrong with Copilot. Like, you already built that.
Yes. The first thing I told when I went to the new team is that, hey, how can we bring known issues into Power Apps Copilot? Can Copilot read the known issues and tell the customers, tell the makers right then that, hey, you know, this is a known issue and we're working on it?
That is a brilliant idea. I really like that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I want to pepper you with all the questions, because I know our customers have a lot of Copilot questions, especially for the Power Platform. So we're definitely going to have you on. But in the meantime, as we wrap up, any last resources that we should be pointing our listeners to about known issues?
Yeah, so definitely go check it out if you haven't already. Just log into PPAC and go to the help and support section, and you should see the non-issues page there. You can filter it down by product, by state of the issue, active or resolved. And you can also use our intelligent search to type in a query and use that to narrow down the list to identify your problem. And then when you click on it, you can see more details about workaround and a little bit more of a description about the known issue. And my favorite thing is that you are able to provide feedback to us right there on the known issue. So just hit that thumbs up, thumbs down button. It helps us more than you think. You know, we use that to drive further iterations. And then also on the known issues page is a feedback button that you can, that will lead you to a survey that you can use to provide more qualitative feedback. So we're looking forward to, you know, hearing more about it from our customers. We also monitor our Power Platform community blog. So continue to share feedback with us via all of these forums and help us make known issues better.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining the podcast and giving us a really good overview and understanding of known issues. And also congratulations on the new role. And, you know, the invite will be coming very shortly for the next episode. So thank you again for joining us, everybody. If you want to know more about known issues, we'll have links in the show notes for you. And we can't wait to hear more questions from people and to have Monty back on the show. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. It was fun.